I want to speak a little bit about a topic that we already know and we're familiar with it. You know, one of the wonderful things about the Bible is that although we know something, we have to constantly go over it and ask ourselves, is this really what the Bible is teaching? Is this really true? You know, we have to constantly study the Bible. We have to look at these things, and especially nowadays when we're learning a lot of new things from the Bible. We thought that hell was eternal damnation. Come to realize it's not. It's not, and I believe all of us here believe at one point that hell was eternal damnation, where people are going to be roasting in hell forever. And we come to find out that it's not so. Hell is annihilation. Where during those 5-month period that mankind is going to be tormented, and then October 21st, he's going to be destroyed forever. So we're constantly learning new things. We're learning new things from the Bible, and many people are struggling with these things. Are we going to listen to the Bible? Or are we going to listen to what we've been taught? So the Bible has to be number one. You see, we have to listen to God's Word, the Bible. But I want to look at this issue in the Bible. God tells us that when we truly become a child of God, when we're born from above, that God has given to us His Holy Spirit. God, Holy Spirit, indwells us. How could that be, that God would indwell sinful human beings as we are? And it's the fact that He indwells us. So each one of us ought to examine ourselves, because the Bible instructs us to do so. To examine ourselves to see whether we're born again or not. Because we see the day approaching. Judgment Day is almost here. So if ever a time we have to honestly look at ourselves, it's today. How little over 2 years we have left. Little over 2 years is not a long time. Little over 2 years and some months. And Judgment Day is going to be here. So we have to ask ourselves this most important question. How about me? Am I a child of God? Are you a child of God? Isn't that the most important thing? You know, if we're trusting in any other thing, or we're looking at, you know, we could look at ourselves through our eyes and tell ourselves that we're saved. See, we could do that because our hearts are deceitful by nature, you know. We don't want to trust our feelings, our emotions, or somebody can tell you you're saved. God's Word has to tell us. God has to let me know. He witnesses our spirit to know that we're His. Listen to the Bible. And if we have any doubt that you may not be saved, wonderfully we know that today is still the day of salvation. God is saving a great multitude of people. How you know it won't be you? We can't assume or presume upon God, you see. We should never take that attitude. We should come humbly before God as the people of Nineveh did and beseech God for His mercy. It might be that He might save me. You see, so as each day goes by, each week, each month, we're getting ever so close to that time. And this is very serious. Very important, you see. So we have to beseech God and never stop if you know you might not be a child of God. You see. But before we get into that, we're going to look at unregenerate man, unsaved man. Can he know something about the Bible? The unregenerate heart, the unsaved heart? Yes, he can. Unsaved man knows everybody knows that there is a God. Everybody does. He might try to deny it, but he knows that there is a God. Does he know wrong from right? Yes. Can he know a lot of truths from the Bible? Unsaved man? Yes, he can. He could understand a lot intellectually. He can. But let's look at Romans 2. Romans chapter 2. Here God tells verse 14 and 15. Unregenerate man can understand a lot. He could know a lot about the Bible and still not be a child of God. Here we read, "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, These having not the law are law unto themselves. We show the work of the law written in their hearts. We can know. Unsaved men can know a great deal about the Bible. Many people who listen to family radio and not saved, they couldn't know about 2011. He couldn't understand about grace. He could understand a tremendous amount of information, truths from the Bible, and he's still not saved. He's still not yet a child of God. We read in the book of Acts about Cornelius. He was a man that, from all appearances, he looked like he was saved. But God revealed to us at one point that he wasn't until God saved him. So we can understand or know a great deal about the Bible and yet still on our way to be destroyed on Judgment Day. We can know these things. So we have to be careful, especially those of us who know this, who've been listening to family radio for quite some time, and he knows these things, and he's exposed to the truth, and he knows all these things. We have to be very careful that maybe this person might not be a child of God, you see. There's a verse in Psalm 33. Let's turn over to Psalm 33. I believe it's Psalm 33. I should have looked it up before. It's Psalm 35. Psalm 35, verse 3. Here God says to us, we're examining ourselves. God says to us, draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. See, we want God's word to let me know that I'm truly saved. As God's spirit witnesses my spirit, we're asking God to say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. You see, as we're truly a child of God, Holy Spirit indwells us. As we read the Bible, God is going to let us know. He's going to witness to us, not through a voice or some other means. God doesn't speak to us that way any longer. It's through the Word of God. He witnesses with us, and he gives us that assurance that you are indeed a child of God. No one can tell you you're saved. He doesn't know your heart. You see, God's Word will do that too. He will witness to our spirit that we're indeed a child of God. So unsaved man, he can know a lot about the Bible, and still yet he's not saved. But if God Holy Spirit indwells that person, God Holy Spirit is going to witness to us we're indeed that person is saved. But let's turn over to Genesis. Look at the unsaved man. God tells us about unsaved men in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. He doesn't have the Spirit of God in him, but he does have the breath of life. Breath of life. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, I believe. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. All of us who are living, who have lived, we have the breath of life in us. See, God, Holy Spirit, doesn't indwell him. He just has the breath of life. Another verse. Look over at Genesis 7, verse 17 to 24. Genesis chapter 7, here God is going to speak about the flood of Noah's day, and we read, and the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth, and the waters prevailed, and when it were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. Is that the verse I need? Let's read verse 21. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beasts and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. And verse 22, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land died. So we see, unregenerate man, he has the breath of life in him. He has the breath of life, but he doesn't have the Holy Spirit indwells him. He just has the breath of life. So we were made in the image of God, and we know wrong from right. We know these things. God's law is written upon our hearts. We're not animals. We're not animals, as some people might think. Many people like to be animals, you know, and that's it. But we're not. We have the breath of life in us. You see, and look at another verse in John. Look at the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Same idea there. John chapter 6. We start reading at verse 52. John chapter 6, verse 52. Here Christ is speaking to the Jews, and they're remonstrating with Christ. They're arguing with Christ. In John chapter 6, verse 52, the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you." But he's speaking to people. These people weren't physically dead. He was speaking to the Jews. And yet Christ is telling them that they have no life in them. They heard what he said. They had no spiritual life. God's Holy Spirit is not in them. So here God is telling them, Christ is saying to them, "You have no life in you." It's just the Spirit of God is in them, although they have the breath of life. They did not understand a thing Christ was telling them. You see, so you see that Christ is telling them that they have no life in them. Look at verse 54. "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life." See, we have eternal life when God, Holy Spirit, indwells us. "And I will raise him up at the last day." See, let's look at another verse. Turn to Jude. So the same great truth there. Jude is just before the last book of the Bible, which is Revelation. Jude, we only have one chapter. Let's read verse 17 to 19. Jude, verses 17 to 19. Here we read, "But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." See, there are those who have not the Spirit of Christ. Those are unregenerate men, unsaved men. They have not the Spirit of Christ. Now, when we become saved, we know that God has given to us of His Spirit. So no matter how someone want to argue that you're saved, they're not arguing with you. They're arguing with the Bible. I'm saved. I'm not going to be a judge of anyone. But God says that He's given to us of the Holy Spirit. He has given to us. Won't we know that? Can someone know when they're truly saved? Yes. And we're going to look at some verses along those lines later on. Yes, we can know if you're truly saved. How can God be in you? You don't know it. Well, I could understand a child, a baby. But apart from that, if you're truly saved, God tells us that His Spirit is going to be a witness to us that we're a child of God. So each one of us have to look at our own selves. Am I truly a child of God? Do I have that desire to be obedient? Now, we can't live, you know, when we're apart from the fellowship or apart from our family, live like the devil, so to speak, when we're at work or out in the world, and come today we're holier than thou, we're being hypocritical. We're going to live and be obedient to God if we're truly saved, no matter where we are, where we're at work or at home or wherever we might be, we're going to show forth the Spirit of God in us. See, let's go on a little more. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. There in Romans, God speaks about a lot about the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God. The Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God is the same thing. In Romans chapter 8, we're going to start reading at verse 6. Verse 6. Here we read, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded." See, after we become saved, we become spiritually minded. The unsaved man, he's not spiritually minded at all. He's not. Because God, Holy Spirit, doesn't indwell this person. He's carnally minded. See. And you know, over the ages, the churches have coined this term about carnal Christian. You know, how the churches have catered to the world. That you have one foot in the world and one foot in heaven, so to speak. It can't be that way. We can't love the world and love God at the same time. Can't, as God tells us in Matthew 6, we can't be a lover of the world and can't serve God and mammon. We can't do that. But here in verse 6 of Romans 8, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Because to be carnally minded is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Can't be. "For so that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." So, here God is telling us very plainly that if this person has not the Spirit of Christ in them, they're not a child of God. No matter how they want to argue with this verse or say, "I've been saved 25 years or whatever, God says His Spirit has to indwell that person. God's Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. He indwells us. So you can see how the importance of we examining ourselves to make sure indeed we're a child of God. We can't hide behind our good works. That will never do. That won't save us. We can't go down a heritage of pastors that was in my family. Each one of us stand before God alone. Parents can't speak for their children, children for the parents. No. God saves each one of us individually. Mom and dad could be saved, and the children are not saved. Some of the kids might be saved, and mom and dad may not be saved. We see that in the Bible. King David had many children, and we see the majority of them weren't saved. We see Solomon was, and that baby he had with baby had died with Bathsheba, he was saved. As far as I know, it was only two, and he had maybe over 12 kids. And so far that I know, it's only two of his kids were saved. And we see that throughout the Bible, that many parents who loved the Lord had children that weren't saved at all. So children can't rest in that. And mom and dad love the Lord, so that automatically makes me saved. No. It's not like that. Each one of us has to go to God on our own and plead for mercy. Plead for mercy that God might save me. You see, so God tells us that the Holy Spirit indwells that person when they have become a child of God. He tells us if you have not the Spirit of God, we are none of His. No matter what you know, no matter who you are, where you were born, or whatever, you could name it. God gives us His Spirit when we become a child of God. And that's very important. That's very important. You see, our bodies don't become saved at that point because this body is still under the curse of God. This body, eventually, the Lord tarries, He's going to die, and it's going to be put in the grave. It's going to decay. And then May 21st, you know, it's going to be resurrected, a glorified spiritual body, and then completely, 100%, we will be saved. But other than that, we're only saved in our spirit. And you know, you can't help but think that day is fast approaching. So you see how very important it is for me, for us, to look at ourselves honestly. Am I a child of God? It's a very important question, you know. Many people won't do that. They're afraid to look at themselves. What are you afraid of? It's best now to face this issue, why God is still saving a great multitude and salvation is still possible, than not to do it. This is very, very important. A little over 2 years left. You know, what about me? What about you? You have to ask the question on your own. Are you born again? Because God, Holy Spirit, indwells you. You know, and then with that, the fruit of the Spirit and all that, it's gonna result of that. But it's so important to look at ourselves honestly and ask yourself, are you a child of God? You see, let's look at in the same chapter, let's look at verse 14 of Romans 8. I know we're very much familiar with these verses, but we have to bring these things back to our remembrance. You know, God tells us in Titus that we have to talk about these things constantly. You know, we have to constantly look at these things. We have to constantly look at our own selves, not somebody else, but at your own selves. You see, look at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So when somebody truly become a child of God, God, Holy Spirit indwells them. God calls us that we are sons of God. You know, you stop. How is that possible? That sinful human beings, God calls us sons. It is indeed an amazing thing. And it goes on in verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So you see how this ties in with Psalm 35, verse 3. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. God, Holy Spirit, does that. It bear witness to us that we're His. That we're His. And here in verse 17, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. You know, you could be thinking about, here's someone, let's say your mom or dad is very wealthy, and they left a will, and they left you millions of dollars in this will. You become an heir to that will. You know, you are the beneficiary of that will. And that millions of dollars don't even begin to compare to what God has given to us. Doesn't compare, because all that money can do is what? Buy you things of this life, and it's going to be destroyed. But here God is talking about, we're joint heirs with Christ. We're going to be the inheritors of the new heaven and new earth. And the blessing is beyond human comprehension. That God is, the promises that God have made to us, and all the blessings that we've come into, it's beyond human comprehension. And we don't deserve it. Somebody who has truly become saved can say, I deserve to be saved. No. We all deserve the same punishment. We all deserve to be destroyed forever. Forevermore. That's what we deserve. And yet God tells us that we are inheritors of God's promises and blessings. Throughout eternity, we will be with Him. And you imagine, this is a few months away. A few months away. Now, we can't lose sight of that, and we know that God is still saving a great multitude. We can't lose sight of the fact that God is still saving sinners. He's still making people sons of God. People are still entering into this kingdom, this great blessing, where He says here in verse 17, if children and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we've suffered with Him, and then Christ has paid for our sins, that we may also be glorified together. And then right there, we don't know what to say. That God would do that for any one of us. That's why, you know, we sing to Him, Amazing Grace. And that, you know, we can't even begin to appreciate enough what God has done. That's why we're going to be worshiping Him throughout eternity. Eternity, we're going to be worshiping God forevermore. you see. And if you're not a child of God, this is not pertaining to you. It's not. This blessing here is only for those who have the Spirit of God in them. If this person doesn't have the Spirit of God for them, then during those 5 months, you know, it's not going to be a walk in the park. It's going to be a punishment that humanly speaking, we can't begin to understand it. We can't even begin to understand the horrors of those 5 months. What's going to be going on to this earth? It's going to be a horror story above horror stories. We can't comprehend it. Because you're speaking about Almighty God who's punishing unsaved man. A God who is infinite in his wisdom and power and abilities. It's going to be horrible. And you know, there are those who'd rather be like Esau. The things of this life. And as we know in today's world, how quickly you could lose all this. How long does it take? Take a look at the stock market. You know, I work at my job. I see the doctors. Every minute they're looking at the news. Their eyes are fixated on it. The stock market numbers. And you see some of them just have their hand on their heads, just looking at it. You know, this nurses comes in looking at the news. Wow. You know, the unsaved man, he's seeing his life and his fortune, all his thing is gone. He's looking at it. We see mankind is desperately trying to prop it back up, but it's just dropping. You see, we not ought to put our trust in the things of this life. You see how this verses say, love not the world or the things of the world. You see, if you're loving the world, you see how quickly you could lose it. You know, there are people today are in panic. What about my retirement? What about this? What about that? And yet, judgment day is a few months away. He doesn't want to hear about that. Neither does he care about it. All he sees is his whole livelihood is being disappeared right in front of him. But if you're a child of God, God, Holy Spirit indwells you, the true believers, we don't have to worry about that. We don't have to worry about that. Our citizenship is in heaven. We have eternal riches, spiritual riches, which we can't lose. We can never lose that because it is kept by God. And God is our inheritance, you see. So we shouldn't be all worried about what we see going on in today's world, or we shouldn't be. The unsaved man, this is his life. And he's going to be worried about this. We have a greater thing, a greater blessing, an infinitely greater blessing than the things of this life. If you're saved, we are the inheritors of the new heaven and new earth. You see. So we take it day by day, and we be obedient to God's command of sharing the gospel. That's what we're saved for. We're not saved for, you know, seeing how much money I could save up, or for me, you know, whatever. No, we're saved. God tells us in Ephesians, we're saved to the praise and glory of God. We're servants of His, and He's given us a command. To whatever blessing God has given to us, we're going to use our time, our monies to get the gospel out. That's what we have to be concerned about. Not the events of this world, you see. Because we know that this world is in the closing moments. You know, God is wrapping things up. And where does that leave me? You know, am I going to be left here for 5 months to face the horror and the torment? Or am I going to be caught up to be with Christ? Isn't that the question? It's not my 401k, is it? No, am I going to be caught up to be with Christ in a few more months? And it's not, we don't have a long time left, you know. We don't have the luxury of time. We never did. But particularly in our day, as we're headed very quickly towards the end of the world. Very quickly. So we ought to be examining ourselves. And if we're not certain that you're not saved, We have to be beseeching God for His mercy, that we may come into this great blessing of salvation. You see. Let's look at a few more verses. We look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. These are just a few verses. And there's many other verses. God tells us that when we become a child of God, that He indwells us. Look at verse 22. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. He tells us, "Who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." See, He has given us the Spirit. Remember, He tells in Romans, without the Spirit of God, we're none of His. And here God is driving home the point to us that He has given us the Spirit. He has given it to us. It's a free gift. Salvation is a free gift. You see, let's look at another verse. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to start reading at verse 11. Ephesians chapter 1, we read in verse 11. Here, before you, the first part of the chapter, God tells us how He has chosen us. We were ordained before the foundation of the world. We were predestinated. We are without blame. We were saved to the pleasure of His will. When you read like from verse 4 down to verse 8, so God is telling us that we were elected. And so forth. But in verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. And we know the inheritance there is new heaven, new earth, which really is Christ Himself, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. In whom also He also trusted after that He heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that he believed, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. In verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. You see there in verse 13, he says, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So you were given the Holy Spirit. We were given it by God. We can't earn it. We can't work for it at all. He has given to us of His Holy Spirit. And you see how we have to look at ourselves. Do I have the Holy Spirit in me? Because you can't say you're truly a child of God, that God's Holy Spirit indwells you, and yet you're continuing in sin. Can't be. Look at Romans 6. I believe there in Romans 6. God gives us in Romans 6, here God, let's start reading at verse 21 of Romans 5 to pick up the context. Romans 5, verse 21, and we're going to read through Romans 6, 1. Romans 5, 21, that as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? How can a person say they're truly a child of God, God Holy Spirit indwells them, and yet they're continuing in sin? It can't be. I'm not saying we'd be. Yeah, the potential for a believer to fall into sin is possible. In our bodies, we're not perfect. We're not going to use our bodies as an excuse to sin. No. God tells us to crucify the flesh. And crucifying the flesh, we can't do it of ourselves either. We have to go to God for help. You see, we have to go to God for help. From the moment you think you could, you know, muster up the strength to turn away from that sin, you're going to fall in it. You see, God has to give us the strength. So you see, what shall we say then in Romans 6, 1? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin, when we become saved, we become dead to sin, live any longer therein? We can't. If you are a drunkard, you're going to stop drinking. you're living in adultery, you're going to stop if you're a true child of God. Because God, Holy Spirit, indwells you now, you see. He's going to convict you of sin. He's going to chastise you. He's going to bring these things in your life to turn you away from these sins. So we can't continue in sin if you name the name of Christ. We're going to depart from evil. We're going to depart from sin. You know, God's going to give us a hatred for sin. And when we fall into sin, we're going to be deeply troubled if you're a true believer. You see, King David, when he fell into adultery, didn't he? He didn't continue in that sin. He repented. And so if we fall into a sin, immediately God, Holy Spirit, is going to convict us. He's going to convict us of it. You see, he's going to convict us. Or he's going to bring chastisements in our life, and we're going to turn from that sin. Repentance. Before you know it, you're going to be crying to God for mercy. You know, you don't give no excuse. You know how mankind is. You know, we love to say, he made me do it. Our sin is our own doing. Can't blame anyone for it. I commit that sin. I did it. We don't try to cover it up. We go to God and we confess it before him. And we turn away from it. You see. And, there's a lot more to go, but think of it, I stop here. My time's about to run out. Anybody have any questions or corrections they would like to make? You know, anything. There's a lot of verses that I just don't have the time to get to, but yes, Howard.
Thank you, Robert, for your teaching. I just wanted to tell everyone and anyone about Open Forum that will be rebroadcast today at 1:30 on Family Radio. I heard it last evening. It was, I guess, first broadcast on October 24th, which was Friday. I missed that. But it is so... it's probably the single most influential and nourishing broadcast of Open Forum that I've heard in my years. So I recommend it to all highly.
Yeah, I did hear it, and it was very, very good. Friday's Open Forum. Let's close. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, once again, that when we have truly become a child of God, that God, Holy Spirit, come and he makes his abode with us, as you tell us in John 14. And, oh, Father, we're so glad that this wonderful salvation, this inheritance, is still possible in our day, although we see the day approaching very quickly that you're still saving a great multitude, and to any one of us here who is not a child of God, is not saved, the possibility of salvation does exist. This person can be as the Ninevites did and cry mightily unto God, because we know that God is gracious. And no matter how sinful we might be, no matter how the sins that we have committed, salvation is still possible, because you tell us in the Bible that Christ came into the world not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And if we see our sin, then we could cry to thee for mercy. Oh Lord, we thank you for thy word, the Bible, and we pray, oh Lord, for the next Bible study and all the activities of this day. May it be to the praise of thy glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.